Amen, amen. All right, let's get into the word tonight. I have, again, a message that I am very excited about. Sometimes folks get like, well, being led by the Spirit, Pastor Dan? Let me tell you something. I'll say it right now. The vast majority of people are not led by the Holy Spirit in their lives, even Spirit-filled Christians. So we don't want to be that, do we? Open up to Proverbs chapter 3. And let me remind you, Proverbs chapter 3 and then Romans 8, we'll look at those two will be our foundations for this tonight. But yeah, these are important services. I'll tell you, as you know, we put this system in and we put it on YouTube all because of the need that was presented. I want people to make a real strong effort to get here, regardless, because just watching it online is not good enough. Do you hear me? Come on, y'all. It's not. You need the fellowship of the saints. And I'll remind you that the Sunday and the Wednesday night services are the most important times of your week. So don't forsake it. All right. Praise God. Proverbs 3, look at verse number 5. It reads this way, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now, listen, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You trust God with your heart, the scripture says. So we're supposed to trust in the Lord with all our heart. You don't trust God with your mind. Just your mind. You don't trust God. You think with your mind. But the Bible says you're supposed to trust him in your heart. Notice it says, and lean not unto your own understanding in all of your ways. How many of your ways? A-double-L. All includes all of your ways. In other words, don't try to handle portions of your life by yourself without letting the Holy Spirit be involved, because he is the one that needs to be in charge and in regard to, you know, you moving and doing anything. I mean, we're going to get down to the point where it's not just once in a while I'm going to be led by the Spirit. Oh, we're going to be led by the Spirit now. So now we're going to pray. We're going to pray in tongues, and we're going to be led by the Spirit. You need to be led by the Spirit the minute you open your eyes in the morning. You need to be led by the Spirit in every decision that you make throughout your day. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways, so all of your ways, okay? Not part, and not just leave a little part over here that you're going to handle with your brain. We're not supposed to do that. See, if you'll include the Lord in your day, include him in every decision that you make. Don't exclude him. If you include him, you'll wind up in a very, very good place in your life. A very good place. Amen? If you let the Lord direct your steps. Now, most people, and I will say this, they lean on their own understanding. They do. Because we've had teaching throughout the years, and people have said, well, you know, I have to use good sense. Well, you do need to use good spirit-led sense. And if we would be led by the Holy Spirit and listen to him, then really the fact of the matter is we'd avoid a lot of trouble in our lives that we have ended up in if we had just led to the Lord, listened to the Lord and let him lead us. We wouldn't have gone down that pathway. Mm-hmm. It's really true. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. So here we go, the Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Our one foundation, and then we're going to go over here to Romans chapter 8, where you know the scripture speaks about being led of the Holy Spirit. Now, I will say that this teaching and this whole concept is probably one of the most important that you're ever going to learn and walk in your life as a Christian. And I will tell you this right now. There are a lot of churches and ministries that don't know first thing about being led by the Holy Spirit. There's not enough teaching on this. There's not enough emphasis on it, Because after all, if you're really going to be led by the Holy Spirit, you need to communicate with the Holy Spirit. Now we bring in the manifestation of praying in other tongues to get his mind, because we need to pray down the mysteries that 1 Corinthians 14 talks about. So now you enter a whole nother level where, oh, we're going to talk about that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But see, that's what separates the mature from the immature, those that are actually being led by the Spirit with those that talk about it but never really do it. Amen. You know, we are not to be putting out fleeces, but yet there are people everywhere doing that kind of thing. Now, don't raise your hand if you've ever done it. I'm not asking that. But there are people that will say, well, Lord, you know, if this is you, let this happen. If this is you, then open that door. And if it's not you, close that door. That's very dangerous. Because we are not supposed to be led by external things. We're supposed to be led by the internal presence of the Holy Spirit and his inward witness in us. Amen? Sure. So the inward witness is going to be vital in all of this. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. Fear will always put you into bondage. In Hebrews chapter 2, make a note of this, in verse 15, it speaks of the people, who it reads, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime, you remember, subject to bondage, the fear of death. In times past, we've talked about it. People, when they say, well, you know, they're afraid to fly, no, they're afraid of crashing. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid to go near the water. They're not afraid of the water. They're afraid of drowning. They're afraid of dying. And the fear of death is everywhere today. People walk in fear left and right, and fear is not the way you and I ought to be going. Amen. Fear will put you in bondage. But what does the Bible say that the truth will do? The truth will set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Amen. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of truth. So if you're led by the Holy Spirit, he will set you. He will lead you in the place to the liberty and freedom that he wants you to walk in. And I would suggest that we, every one of us tonight, realize that there's not a one of us in here who know all that we can know or should know about being led of the Holy Spirit. You don't. I don't. Nobody does. Even Brother Hagin, who taught on being led of the Holy Spirit a lot throughout his life in ministry and had great, mighty, powerful works flow in his ministry, he didn't know everything. He just barely scratched the surface. So, you know, we need to be open to learning and listening and stepping forward in this. And this needs to be a daily discipline. Do you hear me? A daily discipline of listening to him over going with the way you just decided in your head. So I wrote this down. If you can hear from God, if you can hear from God, everything in your life will work out. Do you hear me? If you can hear from God, everything, every single thing in your life will work out. And we don't have to start making determination of whether God did that bad thing over here to teach me something. No, 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 no. When you listen to the Lord, you will avoid so many pitfalls, so many things that the devil had, traps he had laid waiting for you. See, he has to tempt you to get you to go a certain direction. He is a bully. He will try to usurp your own will and push you and prod you and lead you down a bad path. But the bottom line is you have to follow it. If you learn that, hey, I'm going to stop and listen to the Lord in this thing and see if I have the peace of Christ on this situation right here, we would avoid so many troubles, so many bad things in our life if we would just stop for a moment and listen. Now, you know, some of us in here tonight have, I'm sure there's a varying degree of somebody in the church has gone through more trials than anybody else. I don't know who that is. And I hope it's not you, but you know what I'm saying? Somewhere, some in all of the church body, there's somebody, I mean, I'm talking the local Solid Rock right here. There's somebody in our church body who's gone through more trials and testings than anybody else. It could be, you know, my mom, because she's the oldest in the church. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Or those of us that have a big bullseye painted on us, okay? We become targets for the enemy because he knows if he can get at me, he can get at others. So leadership gets attacked. But the bottom line is, it doesn't really matter who's gone through the most. The bottom line is, who's going to listen to the Lord now and avoid the pitfalls in the future? Who's going to, starting this night, be determined, make a decision, I will be led of the Holy Spirit, and I will listen to his voice and the voice of a stranger I'm not going after. And stop being lazy or sloppy regarding listening to him and you jumping out and doing things that aren't scriptural. You know, people jump into things that aren't scriptural and then ask God to bless it. That's not a good thing to do. So say this with me. I'm going to be Spirit-led. I'm going to be Spirit-led. You will be Spirit-led. You need to make that decision. Because, again, I will say it to you, there are large numbers of people that are not led of the Holy Spirit in the church, okay? So you could be head-led. That sounds funny. Head-led. You could be statistics-led. I know some preachers who are totally statistic-driven. Everything's about the statistics, you know. Statistic-led. You could be, this is an easy one, feelings-led. Led by your feelings or your emotions, right? How about logic? What doesn't make sense? So now you're being led by your own logic. Guess what you're not being led by? The Holy Spirit. Here's another one that's very tricky, and especially for those of us in ministry, to be need-led. Somebody has a need, and we jump. I throughout the years, I've gotten in trouble doing that a few different times where I've got myself in the middle of a situation and that person or persons are just draining me of my time. Time I should be studying or praying. And this one has this issue, and you let them start in on it, and it'll go for hours on end. And you know you want to help people, but at the same time, the first question you have to ask is, if you're letting somebody drain your time like that and take up your time, who are they following? Because when you're following and letting them lead you by the nose in a situation, now suddenly, whoever they're hooked up to following, is it their emotion? Is it, what is it? Then you suddenly are being led by the very same source. So we need to be very careful of that. Be cautious. There's a time to say no. Do you hear me? And that can be one of the hardest things for those of us that are kind. Are you kind? You want to help people. Have you ever been taken advantage of? Okay, we don't even need to go there, but you know good and well that that happens. And if we become need-led, I tell you, the devil could lead the church all over the place. If it's all based on needs, all he's got to do is start stirring up something over here, stirring up something over there, and we're chasing after it. Now who's leading us? It's not the Holy Spirit, is it? Interesting. So there are a lot of voices that will try to lead you. A fear. Oh, jeez. Fear is constantly trying to come against people, especially, like I said, in this day, all this stuff going on, you know, people are already talking about the rioting that'll happen after the election. Some of the Democratic Party officials have even talked about it. I guess they're planning on losing. It's interesting. Hire 600 lawyers to contest the election that hasn't even happened yet. Excuse me? Okay. Let there be no fear in you regarding any of that. The Lord has our back, but we need to keep him front and center in our lives. Now, fear is always irrational. So let me ask you the question, who's leading you tonight? Or what is leading you tonight in your life? Overall. Do your kids? Grandkids? Does your job? Does this person? Does that? Or is it the Holy Spirit? You know, we should love our kids. We should be there for our children. We should be there for our grandkids. I don't have any yet, but I'll be there for them whenever it happens, you know. So get married first, Austin. It's a good thing. Amen. Yeah. So we need to be there for them, but again, we can't let our if you're letting your child and their needs lead you, guess who's not leading you? Yeah, but they're my children. Yeah, but who's supposed to come ahead of your children? The Lord. You know, people get, you start talking about putting something ahead of somebody's children, you see some feathers get ruffled. But I'll tell you something. I come from a family who the kids were very important to the parents, but once parents get a hold of this, what we're talking about, you put the Lord first, your kids are going to be all right. Now, you need to take care of their needs, especially when they're little and all that, but if every time they squawk, they're leading you around by the nose, you're going to get frustrated with it. You know, there comes a point in time you have to say, I've got to settle down and listen to the Lord. Now, when a person has very young children, their needs are much more prevalent, and they're there. But you mamas can talk about that, I'm sure. You know what it's like to have little kids or grandkids. There are a lot of needs. But even in all of that, still have to have some quiet time before the Lord. That may not be till 10 o'clock at night or whatever, but you still need to get it. And God honors faithfulness. You faithfully take care of those children and raise them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. Amen. Scripture tells us to, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. Remember that. If we were Spirit-led, like I said before, we would cut off opportunities that the devil is trying to lay in wait for us, setting traps for us, things that he's trying to set up. If we would be Spirit-led and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, my goodness, we could cut him off in a lot of ways from areas of our lives where he's had free run. Because we've done and tried to do things on our own and filter it through our thoughts, and really, in fact, we're leaning to our own understanding, and that's not a ideal way to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 tells us that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Do you remember that verse of Scripture? You know, we need to remember that we need to go back over it again and review how he works, his devices, and the chief weapon that he uses against believers is that of fear. It takes fear to give in to the input that the enemy tries to throw into your life. Just as you cannot please God without faith, you're not going to be pleasing to the enemy if you're walking in faith, but you can't really be pleasing to the enemy unless you start to walk in fear. And it takes fear for him to get you afraid of something in order to bring it into your household. So cut the fear off at its knees. Amen? Don't even let it into your thoughts. We're not ignorant of his devices. Devices is the Greek word noema, and it means a mental perception, okay? A mental perception or a thought or an evil purpose. We're not ignorant of the way he comes about and says what he says and tries to plant these thoughts, so we're not ignorant of that. We're going to be led of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll tell you what, I don't want to go through the wrong door. You ever go through the wrong door? You ever go in a place and walk in a wrong door? I've never forget it. We were in a restaurant in Tulsa one time. I'm watching my dad. We had stopped and he goes in. I don't know. You know, it just had a symbol on the door, and I don't know. He wasn't really looking. He was half awake. He walked in. He comes out red-faced. Praise God there was not a woman in there. He went in the ladies' room. He comes out. Oh, he had to know my dad. I mean, he just flushed, you know. And I'm like, Dad, someone's going to think you're some old pervert or something. You know, what are you doing, man? I just never even looked. I thought that was a men's. I said, well, golly, man. You go in the wrong door, it could get you in trouble. Go in the wrong door and walk into a meeting when you're not supposed to be in there as a group of people, and you walk in. Oh, surprise, yeah. I don't want to go through the wrong door in my life. And it will require discipline on a daily basis. This is a discipline that I'm talking about. And Jesus walked in this. Jesus was so disciplined. He operated in this day and night to perfection. He was always and only spirit-led. He never yielded over into his thoughts and gave way to a fleshly impulse of any sort. So if we're going to be and mirror our Savior, then we need to start really pulling in and tuning in and stop quenching the leading of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. So, you know, when I think about the disciples and I think about how they walked with Jesus, and a lot of Christians are in this position, and just, you don't have to admit it out loud, but I know you'll admit it on the inside. When we think about the disciples that walked with him, sat down, ate meals with him, he taught them face to face. The ones we read about in here, Peter, James, Paul, Andrew, you know, the others, Paul. Paul did walk, not with Jesus, but Peter, James, and John, Andrew, the different disciples, even Judas. And you think about them sitting down and reaching over and touching the Savior on his shoulder. I mean, this is God in the flesh. And we think about how they saw and talked with Jesus and communed with him, walked down the road with him and watched these wonderful miracles take place. But Jesus talks about a better way for the disciples than even having him there with them personally. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away." You remember this, right? "It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come. But if I go," in other words, if I die, "I'll send him to you." And that, believe it or not, no, you need to believe it, because Jesus said it was better for you if I leave and he comes. It's better to have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us than it is even to have Jesus in the flesh. Oh, see, that runs crosswise with us. Immediately your head goes, no, wait a minute. If he were right here, I could, you know why it does that? Because we as human beings are many times carnal in our thoughts. And so we think, if I could just see him, you know the old, if I could just see him, I'd believe it. No, he's saying, if the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you, it's going to be more beneficial for you if that happens than if I were to stay here. Somebody said, well, that's because he was going to provide salvation. Yeah, that's true. But he was also going to provide us with the Comforter, God himself, in the form of the Spirit living with us and in us all the time, not coming upon and departing again. But he's all the time in me, in you. So, I mean, it's the obvious, that opportunity for us to be led by the Holy Spirit is there all the time. And yet people, I'll listen to them a little while, you know, I'm going to get spiritual now, I'm going to pray in tongues. Well, that's a wonderful thing to do, and you need to, because it builds you up on your most holy faith. But at the same time, we need to throughout our day be going external. I see that going on. What's going on internally? External, here's what's happening. Internal, this is what I see before me. This is what's happening in that life. What's going on internally? We need to be led by the inside, not the outside. Amen. Verse 14 again. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit itself, or literally himself in the original, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He bears witness with my spirit, and he leads us night and day. Amen? Inward, he's inside us. He lives in us inward. And we have to check on the inside constantly when we're looking at things on the outside. I mean, we go through things throughout the day. We hear something. What does the Holy Spirit say about that? Well, yeah, but they called and they want me to meet them over here and blah, 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 blah. And you just jump to it. Is that really what the Holy Spirit wanted? No, the Holy Spirit's never going to tell you to do something that goes against the word, or tell you not to do something, you know, that would contradict the word of God. He's not going to do that. But at the same time, as human beings, we owe our allegiance to him first. And if you're not careful, you can let people lead you around by the nose. Or situations. Am I speaking the truth? How many of y'all have ever felt like you've been led around by people and this, that, and this? You know, pastors go through that a lot. I mean, it's like, you've heard me say it before. I feel like I'm being pulled on. That happens all the time. So what happens when you start to say, you know what, I want to be led of the Spirit. Well, I need you to, you know, somebody gets upset about something and they want, you know, they want to read Pastor of the Riot Act. You know what? I've learned over the years that I need to be very cautious on what I open myself up to. You guys are really quiet tonight, but that's okay. At least that means you're thinking, either that or you're sleeping. But, you know, I have to be very careful with what I expose myself to. Just because somebody's ticked off at you, does that mean you automatically have to jump into the lion's den with them? Does it? Just because somebody wants you to go with them to the dance club tonight, well, they're my friend. And this is how some Christians do it. Well, I want to be a good witness to them, so you're going to go to the bar with them and go dance at the honky tonk, right? Comes the point, you got to say no. Now, we just need a lot of retraining in this area. When it comes to being led by the Holy Spirit, we're not supposed to put out fleeces. You know that old, well, if Lord, I'll know it's you if. Oh, now you're setting the parameters how you will know it's him if a red car drives up and then two white ones follow it, I'll know it's you. Serious? Yeah, you know. Well, what about Gideon, Pastor Dan? Gideon was not born again. He did not have the Holy Spirit living in him. You and I do. And we need to listen. See, if you are led externally, you can be easily fooled.
Well, it looked like God.
The Bible says the devil comes as an angel of light. Remember, he'll try to deceive you. Sure. So, you know, that whole line of reasoning, if this happens, it's you. My goodness, you know, and Christians kind of like, it's a roll of the dice. You know, if this is you, snake eyes, you know. No, you can't be moved by what you see. You need to be led internally, not externally. Let's go to John 3 and we'll close. John chapter 3. This is an interesting thing. So we're just kind of getting into the subject tonight about being led by the Holy Spirit, being led internally, not externally. I have mentioned that you can let people lead you around, and you need to be very, very cautious of that. In the ministry in particular, you know, if all I'm ever doing is responding to people's needs, well, after all, you're a servant. I'm a servant of God. Okay? And the way the denominational churches have done it is that pastor is pretty much a hireling, and when we snap our fingers, he better jump, bless God. Now, who's he being led by? Tell me. The people. That's why you have a lot of deacon-possessed churches. Amen? They tell the pastor how high to jump, when he's going to jump, and they also tell him when he's going to leave. And that is just not the way the church was ever supposed to be. And some of you grew up in churches like that, and I know that. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church, you know, we got a different priest at the Catholic Church about every 10 years, it seemed, maybe 5 years, something like that. But, you know, it's not supposed to be run by a hierarchy of people that are telling, you know, this is what we're going to do, or businessmen within the church or women, whoever that may be, who are, you know, don't pray about stuff, but simply look at the statistics. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there's a balance in the wisdom that comes forth, and we're supposed to listen to each other and praise God for it. But being led by the Holy Ghost doesn't mean just letting people push you around all the time. Amen and amen. I'll say that from the now until the day I go home to be with the Lord, because it's the truth. If he's going to lead us, and can he speak through somebody? Sure he can, but there will always be peace associated with it. It'll always be the peace of God that comes. I said it to you last week. When the Holy Spirit's talking to you and ministering to you, there's instant peace that comes. Amen. John chapter 3, look at verse 1. This is the incident where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. You remember this? Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now let me say something about this. The rest of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of which Nicodemus was part, but the rest of them were turning murderous. They hated Jesus. And they're saying, you know, this guy, he can't be of God. You remember reading about the way they treated him and all this. But Nicodemus saw that there was something different happening, and Nicodemus wanted to meet one-on-one with Jesus, and he did. But he says, you know, he wants to find out if these works that Jesus is doing are of God or not. I mean, it should have been pretty easy to figure out. They're saying the others, his compatriots in the religious world there in Jerusalem, were saying, you know, this Jesus, he can't be. He doesn't wash his hands. He doesn't do this. He's transgressing this. He's blah, blah, blah. And all these things that they were bringing up out of hatred for him. Nicodemus recognized something different. So he goes and meets with Jesus, and he asks the question, or he poses it to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. Well, his buddies didn't believe that. They were looking for a way to get him. For no man can do these miracles except, or that thou doest except God be with him. What does Jesus answer in verse 3? Here's the point that I want to make to you on this. Nicodemus approaches him and is trying to direct the conversation into the area of finding out how he's doing these works and whether it's of God or not. And Jesus just turns around and says, hey, you need to be born again. He just ignored him. He did not address what Nicodemus wanted to talk about. And that's the way Jesus functioned. Jesus was always led of the Spirit. He didn't let somebody come in and dictate to him how it was going to go. He knew what Nicodemus needed. Nicodemus needed to be born again. He said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's kind of a hidden thing, but when you read it and think of it along those lines, you see that's exactly what Jesus did. That's exactly what Jesus did. He just kind of turned it around and said, this is the important thing. He didn't even address the man's question. Interesting. I read that, and I read it, and I read it again. I'm like, I see what you're doing there, Lord. You weren't going to let somebody lead you around. You were led of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Nicodemus needed. Kind of a famous scripture, isn't it? A man must be born again, right? Sure. Thank you, Jesus. So we're talking about being led of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and stand to your feet tonight. Stretch a little bit. And do I have a prayer card there? Let me have that. Go ahead, stand up. Let's do it. And Larry is needing prayer tonight, so we're going to pray for him. And anything in particular, do we know? No? It's okay. We'll just believe God. How's that? The Lord wants him whole and healed and well and feeling strong and feeling good. And amen. 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 Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for the power of your Spirit and the leading of your Holy Spirit in us. Sir, we want to obey you and do what you instruct us to do, and not be led of our flesh, not be led of the flesh, Not let the devil lead us around by the nose. Not let people, maybe well-meaning, but not let people lead us around. We want to be led by you. We want to hear from you and know if the next thing we're fixing to do is from you and something we should do, we need to check with you internally when we're addressing the things that are appear before us externally. Father, I thank you. I thank you for that check in the spirit of knowing when you're leading, what you're saying, and when you say, don't do it, don't get involved in that, don't go there, don't hook up with that person, don't do this, don't do that. I thank you, Father. I thank you as we submit ourselves to you that we closely, moment by moment in our days, are listening to you. Constantly, over and over asking, is that of you? Is that something I should do? Is that a thought I ought to be able to have? Is that something that lines up with the word? What about that situation? Is that, Father, how do you want me to handle that? I thank you, Lord, that we become that precise in our dealings, that serious in our dealings, being led of your spirit. In Jesus' name, if you all can agree, come on, say amen.